Well, I'm going to do something different today. If you know me well, Reg knows this very well. I normally write out my sermons meticulously, almost line for line, so that if, for whatever reason, not because of this, but if I weren't able to preach it, I could just hand it to somebody. You could just read it if you want to. And often, actually, my superfan, who isn't here today, Reg, will often ask me at the end of a service, he'll say, "Can I have your notes?" I don't know what he does with them. I think he's making a book. But if you see a book actually published, the writings of Rich or the messages, can you let me know? Because I haven't got any royalties from it, all right? But anyway, but today I've done what if my wife ever speaks, and she does, well, I've done more because she uses the back of an envelope usually. But I've just got some notes here which I scribbled this morning because I just felt it was right to share with you really a bit of our experience that happened this week with Paul Bennison. I'm going to start with a line of prayer that comes from a guy called John, or Saint John Chrysostom. Okay, I can't remember his date, but he's like an early church father. We're talking 3rd century or something, right? And he wrote out 24 prayers, one for each hour of the day. I'm not entirely sure whether you're supposed to wake yourself up and pray these things, you know, through the night. But they were monks, and they probably did. So I haven't got that far. I just read them from time to time. But one of the prayers from the day is this, and you may think this is a bit odd, but I'm going to read it anyway. It says, "O Lord, grant me tears, remembrance of death, and humility." Park that for a second. I'll just say that one more time, that prayer. "O Lord, grant me tears, remembrance of death and humility." We'll just put that to one side. So I want to tell you about this friend of ours called Paul, who passed away on Friday. Now, I was actually just chatting with Keith and Margaret earlier in the week about him and just trying to work out how long has this church known Paul? And Keith said it goes back to Brian Pickard's time, which Brian Pickard was 4 pastors ago. Okay, I've been here 19 years. The guy before me was 12 years. I think the guy before him was 2 years. And then so the guy before me. So we're talking about at least 35 years ago. So the church has known Paul for a long time. And I can tell you that because Keith has been here even longer than that, so he'll know. Okay, and for those of you who didn't know Paul, I just want to give you just a little sort of snapshot of his life because Paul was just a larger-than-life character, really just full of life. And whenever you were with him, it was just kind of there were stories and there was life and there was laughter and there was kind of irreverence and... Sorry, and eating and food, and he was a good laugh. He had an international ministry, and so he travelled. He could actually tell you how many countries he'd been to. I can't remember. It was getting on for about 100. You know, he kind of like visited different countries around the world, and he kept a log of all these different places he'd been to. And I think Louise and I are reasonably well travelled, but it was like absolutely nothing compared to how many different places he's been to, and. He would, and during that time, he would often fly out of Heathrow, and often he would stay with Keith and Margaret. And in fact, I think you called your spare room Paul's room, didn't you? So that's kind of like that's how often he was there. It's kind of like it became the place where Paul stayed, and particularly more recently, he had particular sort of connections with Romania and Colombia. You know, really easy to get to, kind of like in opposite directions. But there you go. And what he would do is he would go and the majority of the time he would go to places and he would have a ministry of healing. And what I mean by that is he would go to church meetings and around the place wherever he was going and he would pray for the sick and oftentimes they would be healed, like miraculously. And the thing is, then Paul would then tell those stories and it was just like some of the stories you'd think, okay, that's interesting. And then somebody like, what? And I can remember one time, we picked him up from the airport one time, maybe Keith was on holiday or something this one particular time, because Keith was also his chauffeur to the airport. You've probably clocked up more miles getting to the airport than he's clocked up air miles, but I remember he got in the car. You know, if you drive from Heathrow, you go under the tunnel and then you come out to the M4 and then you... By the time we got to the M4, I remember... Do you know, sometimes these things are imprinted on your mind and every time I drive this bit of road, I'm hearing this story now. He's telling us the story how he prayed for somebody and they had a metal plate in their leg, I think it was, and how it started to dissolve. And by the time he'd finished praying for them, the bone was healed and there was no metal plate anymore. And it's just like, Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, stuff like is beyond. Sometimes, you know, I am a cynic with these things. You know, people go to a healing meeting and they've got a little bit of a bad back and it's slightly better by the end of the meeting. Okay, I think God can do things like that. But this was this kind of different level of seeing God work here and now. Another story he told, you may remember this from Keith, he prayed for, he was in a hospital in Colombia, I think it was, and he prayed for the people in the ward, and he basically cleared the ward out because everybody got healed, and then they had to, there was like nobody left for the nurses, you know, it's like, okay, go home today, nurses, because nothing to do here, that kind of thing. So that's the kind of thing that he would do, and that's how God would use him, very powerful, yeah, and the stories would come out with. So in Colombia as well, he got these various different contacts. And there was one time he was telling us a story where a drug cartel or this guy basically summoned him to go to this place in the middle of the jungle or wherever drug barons live in Colombia. I'm realizing I'm recording this. I'm going to put it on the internet, so I better sort of keep this. I don't know any names. But anyway... And he got summoned and he got taken, that like guys with guns in the back of their belt, that kind of, you know. And because this guy, who was the leader of the gang, wanted Paul to preach the gospel about Jesus to the drug gang. Yeah. So he was a kind of different kind of guy. I remember when we first got here at church, Louise said, you should go on a trip with him. And I'm thinking, no, I don't think I want to. Yeah, I never got to go on a trip with him, actually, and I'm regretting it now, but...
wife's always right.
Yeah, wife's always right. Always listen. I don't know why you didn't go, Louise. Anyway, so that was him. I mean, and that's just a small snapshot of who he was, and if you talk to Keith or Dennis or Emma and people that have been around a while, they'll tell you some more stories, you know. I'm sure we will have our memories. Anyway, over the last few years, though, he moved up to Wales and became quite isolated. And over the last few years, he became very frail. We've kept in touch with him a little bit. Oh, and also just to say, for quite a long time, actually, this church has supported him financially to do the things that he's been doing. So we take an offering and all of our income, we take 10% of that and we give that away to people outside the church. And he's over the last few years, for many years actually, he's been one of those people that we've taken that money and supported him with. Anyway, it was actually Dennis who just saw on Facebook that somebody had posted on Paul's Facebook page that Paul was very seriously ill and had been taken into hospital on Monday, I think it was, emergency admission. And I think I got wind of this on Wednesday. I can't exactly remember the time scale of this. So Louise and I knew he was isolated, you know, and didn't really have many friends up there, maybe one or two people he knew up there. It's a long story how he got there. I won't go into all that. So we just thought it was important that we would go because we just didn't know whether he'd just be on his own, you know. So we drove up on Friday. We couldn't go up on Thursday, but we drove up on Friday. And actually, because there was one guy who had visited him, and we were keeping in touch with him because part of me was thinking, it's quite likely by the sounds of things, he was so poorly that by the time we got there, he wouldn't be with us anymore. But we were keeping in touch, and we got there, and we got up there, so there's this guy called Jonathan who visited him the night before, and then there was a friend of his called Maggie, who when we got there, she said, I've been here 26 hours. So she'd sat with him through the night. So those were his two companions. So we get there, and we just said to Maggie, I mean, 26 hours, it's a long time. We've been in hospital a fair bit, but 26 hours, and she said, I think I've got about 2 hours sleep. So look, why don't you just go and go for a walk and have a break, and we'll just come and sit with him for a bit. And so we did, and what we did... is I'd taken my book of Psalms. Some of you know I've got this particular translation of Psalms I love. And so we just started reading Psalms to him and reading and praying these Psalms. So we started at Psalm 20, and by the time we got to Psalm 36, I think it was, he'd passed away. And And so we read, I'll tell you why I started at Psalm 20 as well, because Psalm 22 is the psalm that Jesus speaks from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And so there's in that sort of psalm, there's that kind of just sort of acknowledgement that death is pretty rubbish. You know, this death is not good. And then Psalm 23 is the famous psalm, the Lord's my shepherd. And within that psalm, there's the line, it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And there's that sort of sense of God is there right in that darkest place. Yet we keep going and he's with us. And then you go on to Psalm 24. I think I mentioned this in our prayer week. You know, if you read Psalm 24, then you see not only the resurrection, but you see the ascension of Christ. He said, be lifted up, you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. It's talking of this sort of heavenly welcome of heaven to Christ. So that's why I thought, let's just read these. And I like reading them consecutively, yeah, because they kind of make sense, believe it or not. There's a kind of rhythm to the way the Psalms are written. And not written, but they're put together. So anyway, so we read these Psalms. And like I say, we got to Psalm 36 or thereabouts. And Paul passed away. And so first thing I want to say to you, because I've been reflecting on this. If you're ever in that situation, and you might say, heaven forbid that I am in that situation. But actually, you kind of want to be in that situation. If they're your loved ones, maybe you kind of do. Yeah? I was just saying to remember, I remember Keith, we went to pray for your mum, didn't yes. we? And I think it was on the way home she died. Didn't it? It was almost like, I can't remember the exact time frame, but it was almost like we visited Keith's mum and then within, not long after, she passed away. So those moments are important. And you might think, well, what do I do? And part of it, I can remember a quote from an old monk. All these other monks gathered around the bed. And they said they were waiting for some wise words, you know, the last words of the monk. And I think they said to him, have you got any last wishes or something? And he said, I could murder a beer. And I think if Paul could speak, he might well have said that. He's that kind of guy. But equally, you might think, well, what do you do? And I think in those situations, there are some things that maybe not so good to do, but there are also some things where you just can't go wrong. I think we were just quite normal. Actually, at one point, it turned out super bizarre. I am doing the most niche essay at the moment for my studies, right? So I'll tell you the title. It's how epigenetics, which is how we can be changed on a cellular level in our DNA, is related to Christian meditation in reading the scriptures. I mean, it's just like bonkersly niche. And do you know what? The lady Maggie, who was sitting with him, she's reading a book, Neurodiversity and the Changing of the Brain in Christian. Anyway, she's reading the book that if I'd known about 3 weeks ago, because I've got to write it on Monday, if I knew about this book, I'd be like, oh. So I've literally got a little bit distracted while Louise is reading the Psalms. I'm thinking, oh, through this book. So sometimes it's just like you can't sustain 26 hours of just reading the Psalms, right? Okay. But anyway, I'm just saying sometimes it's just right to be normal. And I joked afterwards, I think the thing that finished Paul off was me mentioning this subject, because it wasn't long after I mentioned that he passed away. You know, it was kind of, because it's just normal, right? We're just being normal around him, and we were talking to him. I don't know whether he could hear us, but we were just talking to him. But we were praying these Psalms as well, and I think if you are ever in that situation, and in a way I hope you are at some point, because we're someone you love, then reading the Psalms and praying, they can't necessarily take, I didn't know, I can't tell you whether he could hear any of it, you know, or could, he knew even if it was us or anything, but there is just something where you can bring God into that. And also then you are not having to worry, I don't know what to pray or how to pray, it's there for you. And particularly, like you said, you know, you start with Psalm 22, 23, 24, see how far you get. There's some just beautiful prayers and hope as well as grief within them all. So, but even just being there, just being there is powerful. It's powerful, I think, a ministry of God. And so we watched him draw his last breath, and that was profound. Because I was just thinking, here's that, the last time he was here, he was just like full of life, you know, full of everything, you know, full of joy. And now it's just this, it's just left us. And that was our experience. And as Louise, we got, it was like, well, that doesn't happen every day of the week. You know, that's kind of, you don't get to see, you don't have that privilege very often. And I don't think we could cope if we did, you know. There we are. But I just wanted to focus some of these. This Psalm 23 says, I'll read that again, verse 4. So even though I walk through the darkest valley, in fact, I didn't realize the NIV said that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, is the more common translation. See, I think I'm getting my bonnet about this. I think sometimes the Bible translators dare not make us too upset. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, yeah, I think that's kind of more what we're talking about here. This is how serious we're talking about, and this is how real the Bible can be. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. And I think for us, the reason why we went, it was important that we were there, that somebody was there. And I was glad that Maggie was there. And in a way, we didn't need to be there because she was there. And actually, we talked to her afterwards and she said, the reason why I'm here is I don't like the idea of people dying on their own. So the reason why she was there is because she thought it was something important for somebody to be there. Yeah. Right? And I just thought, there's a ministry of being with people, just being. The fact that we're here today brings something of God to each of us. We're here, you know, and that in itself, you may think, I don't know what, you know, you might think of me, I don't know what I'm going to say to Richard because he's experienced this thing. You may think that. You don't have to say anything. I'm just here with you. You're here with me. That's a big part of it. Big part of it. That we're just present. We don't really offer any solutions. There's no solution to death, by the way. Can't really fix it. It's just there. So being there, you enter into the mystery of God when you do those kind of things. And I think, and I realised as I was thinking about this, it's a real value of our church, of just being with people. I was thinking about the ministry that Daniel does with Cap and the befrienders like Emma. You know, the whole thing is you're just going to be with people. And you are going to help them, but actually a lot of it is just being there with people and alongside them. And a lot of what we do is being with each other. And so on Sundays, like I say, that's important. But on Thursdays when we gather, you know, there's a women's group and on the WhatsApp, you know, it's just kind of like we're there for each other, right? We're there for each other. And when stuff goes pear-shaped, you've got people around you. They may not be able to help in the sense that they can't fix it, but they're there. And so we minister to one another, Jesus in the flesh, to one another, his presence, through being there. Jesus says, Matthew 24, I am with you even to the end of the age. I am with you. So anyway, we got chatting with Maggie afterwards, obviously, and we didn't just sort of run off afterwards. And we got chatting to her. And she said, you know, I'm here because I thought it was important to be here. And she believes that. And I think she would still do the same. But she said, I had a revelation yesterday. This was on Thursday, I think, in the evening. She said, I realized that I wasn't here on my own. That there was angels with us. And the presence of God was here. And so even if I wasn't here, Paul wasn't going to be on his own. That was her revelation. I haven't asked her permission to say that, but I'm sure she wouldn't mind. That we're not alone. And this thing of Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort, protect me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's almost like you know what you're like, death, enemies, whoever, whatever, I am with God and God is with me. I am with God and God is with me. So again, got me thinking because I'm being trained in my course to be reflective and just consider things. And and reflect. And so I was taking this, and I was thinking, I had a conversation with someone earlier. I can't even remember where this was now. Yeah, it was earlier this week, I think. Sometime in the recent past. About the tone of voice of Scripture. Because one of the most common things that's spoken in Scripture is, do not be afraid. Yeah? And psychologically, the most ridiculous thing to say to somebody when they're afraid is, don't be afraid.
Yeah?
Yeah? You're going bungee jumping. Don't be afraid. Be fine. You know? Now, there's two things about that. First of all, the tone of voice that we use when we say that. I could say, don't be afraid, you idiot. You know, and get that kind of like condescending kind of your stupid kind of voice. Don't be afraid. No. And that doesn't help. Okay? Or you can change the tone of voice and you can add in what the Scripture says is, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Says God. Mm-hmm. That changes it drastically, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. How we hear that. I think that's what God's speaking. We're speaking to Paul, speaking to us. I mean, and as we go. So I kind of... now, you may think I'm going off on one now, but I'm good at that, I think. I've discovered. I may start thinking about Joshua, because this is where you hear, well, you hear it through the Bible, but you hear this particularly with Joshua. Don't be afraid, I'm going to be with you, says God to Joshua. So I read the story of Joshua. From a long, long time ago, and he comes after Moses, and it says this: after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all people get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I'll give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law, all the law my servant Moses gave to you. And then it carries on. Be strong. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And here's what I just want. The thing I was... you remember last week when I was talking about Sarah? And I said, Sarah's... you can nod. Just make me feel better. You know, Sarah's issue was that she believed God could do it, but just not through her. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty good with that, with healing. I believe God can heal, just usually through someone else. Somebody like Paul. Anybody else like that? I don't know. I mean, these are just my... some of you have got greater faith than me, and I'm not joking when I say that. Some of you have much more faith for healing than I do. But I'm challenged by this. Because... it says here, Moses, my servant, is dead. Paul, my servant, is dead. But there's a ministry of healing that needs to carry on. Otherwise, the church is a lot less. Well, it is a lot less for not having Paul, but there's a challenge to me to think, okay, his life, the fullness of his life that we knew about. I'm challenged to think, okay, I need to start praying for the sick and just see what happens. That's scary, I can't tell you. But it's not just scary for me, because I hope it's scary for you too. Because I think this is not just for me. You know, I'm going to read you. This is what it says at the end of Mark. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11. This is just after he died, buried, resurrected. Jesus says, he appears to the 11, it says, as they were eating, he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who said they'd seen him after he'd been risen. Yeah, I would probably be in that. I'm Mr. Skeptic. So he's rebuking me for my lack of faith. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. Then they will place their hands on people who are ill, and they will get well. He's speaking to us. So, I'm challenged by that. Yeah? So I want us to... I don't want us to do anything. I'm feeling kind of God's doing this, you know. So it's kind of like at the beginning of the week, I was just preparing a sermon on Abraham, yeah. and I just thought it was wrong to preach that today, and so I'm just open to what the Spirit's doing. So I think we should break bread, share communion, and if there's anyone who's got anything that needs healing, let's pray. That's what Paul would have done if he was here. That's what Paul, the Apostle Paul, would have done if he was here. So what have we got to lose? And believe that just as Christ worked through Paul Bennison, who is now not with us, he's with Christ, he can work with us. And I think we should do that now, and I think we should just make that part of our life, you know. And I'm very challenged by that because I, like I say, I'm Mr. Skeptic. I mean, I've seen healing and I believe it happens, but not through me. not that God, it's me that's doing it, by the way. Okay, I'm just being very clear on this. I don't think that Paul was the healer. God was working through him and had a ministry through him because Paul had the faith for that. I struggle with that because I think I'm a bit like Sarah. I believe God, but I think somebody else is good for it. But that somebody else isn't here anymore. Kind of, okay. So, funny week. I'll tell you that, funny week. Like Louis said, it doesn't happen every day of the week. But I think it's important that we just stop and listen to what God's saying through it. Okay. Let's break bread together. And then I'd love to just pray for folk and we can pray for one another. You know, if there's people have something that needs some healing, then let's pray. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we prepare our hearts.